Amen. It's great to be with you guys. Just turn to someone next to you and just say, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. I trust that you're all well this morning. But I want you to turn to the person next to you, just into groups of two, and just share quickly with the person that you, or a person that you're comfortable with maybe. But I don't want anyone to be on their own now. I want you to just find someone that you know that you can be comfortable with and just share what has been on your heart or on your mind the last week or so. What has been consuming your thoughts? What has been, have you been thinking most about in the last week or so? Maybe the last day or so, or the last few hours or so. Okay, you can really be honest about the Springboks loss, and you can really be honest about the tension on campus, and you can really be honest about anything that is on your mind and been on your heart the last week or few days. So let's just share that in groups of two quickly. Let's get nice interactive here this morning. Sometimes church gets very routine, but this morning we're going to break the routine a bit. So no praying yet. We're going to pray now about the things that are maybe on your mind or consuming your thoughts at the moment. But just to get you guys thinking, sometimes we need to take stock of where we are just in our walk with the Lord, and what are we really consumed with every day? What are we consumed with in our thoughts and in our minds and in our hearts every day? Last night we had an interesting experience. A couple of us friends went away to camp at Oldham. And I don't know if you guys were in the Free State last night at about between 9 and 10 o'clock. There was incredible winds that came up. And so we're about to go to bed, and the one guy just says to me, you know, because basically we were coming back early and the rest of the people were going to stay there, wake up nice and late this morning because we had to be here for church. So one friend just says to me, you know, just have a great sermon tomorrow, and you know, and may it go well. And I said, it's I'm excited because the title of my sermon is called Don't Worry. And it was literally seconds after I said that, I went into my tent and suddenly this whole wind just came and basically destroyed all. There's only one family that survived the night. They stayed the night there. The rest of us all had to pack up last night, and some of us are in church this morning. We drove back last night because these winds literally were as strong as I've ever experienced wind in a camping situation. And yeah, our kids are in the tent, and our tent is not the most stable. It's not even our tent. We borrowed it, so now we're so stressing about whether the tent is going to make it, and eventually we just thought, no, let's put the kids in the car, let's pack up here. Luckily it didn't rain, pour down with rain, but it was quite a stressful experience, and you start to think about lots of things, and you start to pray, and you think about the Lord must stop the storm right now, you know, because we just want to carry on and have a nice night here, and things get a little bit uncomfortable, but it's in those moments that you're really confronted with a couple of things, and things worked out. It wasn't like as if, you know, it was a life and death situation, but your world just gets shaken up a little bit, and it was a moment that I'll never forget. Just you know, driving back and putting our kids in the car and just saving them from the possible damages that could have happened. But it's in these moments when these words that I've titled my sermon called "Don't Worry" really come up, because worry can cause us so much stress. Worry can cause us so much unnecessary admin in our lives, isn't it so? Worry reveals a lack of trust and a lack of faith in God. Worry shows many times a wrong focus. It causes stress, anxiety, and depression, and there's no good fruit coming from worry. Amen. It's all born out of fear and all born out of where we are trying to control our lives and we are trying to live our lives as best we can, instead of giving over to trusting in an awesome God. So this morning, I especially asked you to just take stock of what is consuming your mind and your heart at the moment. What are you worrying about? What are you thinking about? Maybe it's about the loss of the Springboks last night. Maybe it's all the stuff happening on campus, all the stuff in this nation that's really causing us a lot of heartache many times, a lot of unnecessary fear and stress and worry. But this morning, I actually want to focus on a very specific part of worrying, because Jesus tells us specifically, in fact, he commands us not to worry. Amen. It's not something that we must try to do. It's something that we just mustn't do or try not to do. We must just not worry. But I want to ask a question is, why do we worry many times in life? Why do we worry? It's interesting that I read an article on the internet about self-help worry techniques. Techniques to help you not to worry. It's like the few steps to not worry so much. And one of the things, or there's six things that this person writes on this article on the internet. The first thing says that you must actually create a worry period in your life. You must put a few minutes out where you can specifically worry about things, but then you mustn't worry the rest of the day or the rest of the week. I don't know if that's going to work, but it's interesting. Then the second thing is, ask yourself if the problem is really solvable or not. To really actually evaluate, is this problem worth worrying about or not? That's the second thing. Then the third thing is, accept uncertainty. And I think some of these things will work, but I see a lot of me and myself in this. How am I going to solve this problem? Then the fourth thing is, challenge your anxious thoughts. You know, take stock of those things that really make you anxious and make you worry, and challenge them and really try to get over them, you know, in your own strength. And then be aware of how others affect you. And then practice mindfulness. In other words, focus on the present and not the future, because many worries come from focusing on the future and not on the present stuff. So interesting. I just came across this, and I just want to put it out there, because it's interesting how the world wants to solve the worry problem. Amen. And I think some of this stuff might work. It might work for a while. It might work, you know, for a few months or even years, but I don't think it's a long-term solution for the whole problem of worry. And so this morning, I want to look at a passage that we're all quite familiar with, and we're so familiar with it that we forget about what it's really saying. Matthew chapter 6. So turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. If you've got your Bible with you, then just turn there. Otherwise, it is on the screen for those who don't have Bibles. I hope you're all Christians and you have Bibles. Otherwise, sit next to a believer. Only joking. I know we get used to not bringing our Bibles to church. That's fine, because PowerPoint, it's all awesome. But let's read from Matthew chapter 6, starting from verse 19. Jesus is speaking here, and he's telling his disciples. This is his Sermon on the Mount, three chapters, Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. Awesome words of Jesus, which I really think that we can take seriously, and I really think that this is the building block of the Christian life, if we can do all these things. It's a lot of stuff. But yeah, he focuses specifically on one area which I really want to focus on this morning. I want to focus on just one thing which I trust the Lord will challenge you with in your life this morning. Let's read. In verse 19, it starts by saying, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either you will hate the one and love the other, or else you will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? And which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Let us just pray before we go on. Father, we want to thank you for your word this morning. Thank you, Lord, that we can submit ourselves to your word. Thank you, Lord, that we can ask you, Lord, to speak to us very specifically in this morning, Lord. Thank you that your word is indeed, Lord, a sharp, two-edged sword, Lord. It's even sharper than that, Lord, cutting between bone and marrow, between soul and spirit, Lord, dividing the very thoughts and intents of our hearts, Lord. And this morning we come, and we want to sit under your word, Lord. And we want to ask you, Holy Spirit, to come and, Lord, show us what is that which you want to change in our lives this morning. What are the thoughts and intents and patterns and motives of our hearts, Lord, that do not bring glory to you, Lord? And so we say, Lord, have your way in our lives. Because, Lord, we don't want to walk out of here the same. Lord, we want to be changed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I want to look at this passage of Scripture, because many times we read this in compartments. And I want to challenge you and encourage you to read Scripture. You know, don't always look at the verses and the chapter numbers, because they weren't put in there originally. They were put in by man, just to make it easier for us to remember certain things. But many times we must read Scripture as a continuation of the passage that is being preached and being taught in that. Jesus here is speaking very specifically about something in all of these verses. And I want to look at that this morning, because I believe this is the key many times to worry in our lives, to a specific area of worry that we find ourselves in. So Jesus starts off by saying, he's asking one question. He's asking in these three verses from 19 to 21, he's asking this question: where is your heart? And so he says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures here on this earth, because this earth is passing away. Amen. Tell someone next to you, the earth is passing away. And so he says, do not lay up for yourselves specific treasures. You know what a treasure refers to? The word there, the Greek word, refers to a deposit. It refers to something of your heart. It's something that you deposit. It's a treasure. It's like when I got engaged to Hester, it was just amazing. You know, when you've got this very expensive stone that you have to get rid of, it's like a hot potato. You cannot keep this thing long, okay? It's like, and we climbed up Table Mountain to get engaged, and I knew that this thing's going to fall very far if it drops out of my pocket now. So I was just wanting to get up there as soon as possible to give this treasure away. Amen. And this treasure is not something you have spent like, you know, a little half a month salary on, or like, you know, just a little bit of a blessing that you've received. This is a treasure that you've spent a couple of months salary on, because you've saved up for it, because it's a deposit, you know, into your life and into your future. Some of you are like looking at me with blank stares, but you'll get there. Okay, we're the married people in the house. You'll know what I'm talking about. Students, you've got lots to look forward to. You've got an exciting time ahead. Guys, spend something on that treasure when you've got the right person. Amen? The right person. But you see, a treasure is like an engagement ring. It's like something that you deposit. You're depositing this symbol, this ring that represents you're making a covenant with this person. You're going to spend the rest of your life with this person. It's quite a serious investment, wouldn't you agree? But Jesus said that we mustn't spend our treasures, we mustn't put our wealth and our deposit and all that stuff that we so hold on to into this earth and the things of this earth, because what? Moth and rust are going to destroy it. Thieves are going to break in and steal. It's temporary. It's fallible. It's going to fall away. And then he says, lay up for yourselves these deposits and these investments, this wealth. Lay it up in heaven, because there nothing will touch it. Amen. Thieves will not break in and steal. Moth and rust will not destroy. Because he says something very specific in verse 21. I want you to listen to me very carefully. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Not where your heart is, there your treasure is going to be. He says something very specific. Your treasure is going to determine where your heart is. Amen. And so the question this morning I want to ask us is, where is our heart? Where are our hearts this morning? Are they following our treasures? And where are our investments? Are they in heaven or are they on earth? Because that's really crucial to understand and to take stock of in your life. You see, Matthew Henry, in his commentary about this verse, says, where the treasure is, there our cares and our fears are. There our hope and our trust is. There our joys and our delights will be. And there our thoughts will be. I want to say that again. Where the treasure is, there our cares and our fears will be. There our hope and our trust is. There our joys and our delights will be. And there our thoughts will be. Are our thoughts being consumed with things of the kingdom? Are our thoughts being consumed with that which is of God? Or are our thoughts being consumed with the things of the world? The things that will pass away, the material stuff, the here and the now. I don't know about you, but I think the greatest treasure that God looks at is us as people. We are His treasure. He's created us to be the pinnacle of creation. And so, are we investing in people? Are we investing in the kingdom? Are we investing in lives that will be in heaven forever? Or are we investing in stuff that doesn't really matter? But it's all about where is your heart. And treasures in heaven don't only speak about people, but it speaks about your acts of obedience that will change other people's lives. It's all of our acts of obedience to God, where God wants us to touch so many people's lives, because then they're going to be a fruit of our obedience. It's not just about giving finances. But I want to talk specifically this morning also about our giving and our finances. But don't limit it to that. But Jesus is here very specifically talking about finances and talking about investment. That's why He uses the word investment. He uses the word treasure. It's a deposit. It's a wealth. It's something that we can understand. And so we can look at money differently, because we can look at money as a token of how Jesus wants us to understand this whole thing of treasure and investments, and where our heart will be is where our treasure is. So this morning I want to challenge you, where is your heart? As I remember when I came into the charismatic church for the first time, I was in a traditional church, and kind of, you know, the tithes and offerings and stuff wasn't really sort of, it was something that was just done. It wasn't really spoken of in such detail. And my parents actually brought me up not understanding this whole thing of actually giving to the house of the Lord, giving into the kingdom. So I had a poor understanding of it. And so when I was challenged, when I came to Shofar and I started to really give my life fully to the Lord, because, you know, when you get saved, you never give your life fully to the Lord. Amen. You give your life because you want to just go to heaven. You want to save yourself from hell. But then you realize there's lots in your life that you actually have to give up. Amen. So when I came into, and I started being challenged on every Sunday, there was an offering message every Sunday. There was, you know, they talked about finances, and like, I would give my little bit, you know, because that's enough. That's, we just have to give a little bit. But I didn't understand that my treasure, where my treasure was there, my heart was also, and my heart wasn't really fully following God, because my heart was still very selfish and very focused on me, myself and I. And it still is in many ways, but God is changing my life. But then I had the revelation that, you know what, I must give the best of my income to God. And I started to earn a salary at the time. I wasn't a student when I came into the church, so I was earning a salary. And I was challenged, because now I'm actually need to be a steward of this money that God has given me, this income that God has given me. And when I had that revelation that, you know what, this money is not just for me. This is all God's money. I need to lay up treasures in heaven and start to give into the house of the Lord. And then you sort of start off by saying, okay, God, I'll give you what's left. You know, you sort of work out your budget and say, okay, God, this is what I sort of, you know, want and need. And so, Lord, I'll give you more than a little tip, Lord, but I'll give you what's hopefully left, because I'm not living extravagantly, Lord. So I'll just give you, you know, what's left of my income. And then Lord takes me through the next step and says, no, I want you to give the first fruits. I want you to give me the best. And I know, in my own life, I was set so free from the love of money and from having treasures on earth and starting to give into the house of the Lord. And so I started off with giving 10%, because that's what we must do. Then God says, no, don't stop at 10%. Start to give even more. Because I own everything anyway. Why do you have to live with 90%? Can't you live with 80 or 70% and start to give me more? So it's a journey that I'm still on, but God is challenging me primarily to say, where my treasure is, there my heart's going to follow. If I give into this house, if I give into the kingdom, my heart is going to be in the kingdom. My heart is going to be for the house of the Lord. Where's your heart this morning? And then Jesus goes on and he says the following. He says that the lamp of the body is the eye. And if therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? And many times we read the specific scripture out of the whole context of what Jesus is saying, because he's still talking here about treasure. He's still talking about your investments. He's still talking about where is your heart. But then he says one thing that's going to so challenge you, and you need to focus on this, is actually your eye. Where is your focus? Where are you looking? And how are you looking at the world and the things of the world? The whole thing of an evil eye amongst the ancient Jews referred to someone who was envious, someone who was covetous, someone who desired another's prosperity, someone who loved their own money, and someone who would do nothing for the charity and for God's sake. That was what the evil eye referred to in the whole Jewish context of the time. And so Jesus is talking here, and he says, it's all about your eye being good or bad. It's all about how you're going to look at stuff, how you're perceiving the world, and how you're perceiving things, and what is in your eye, really. Because if there's a blemish in your eye, then you're going to not see what you should be seeing. And the whole thing about your eye being good talks about a clear and a single focus. It talks about vision. It talks about, are you seeing what God is seeing? Are you just seeing the things of the world? Are you seeing the temptations and the lure that the world has for us? So where's your focus this morning? Because the whole thing of darkness here can also just be worry and fear that is gripping us. And so we cannot see. Those who understand the whole circus thing will understand. Those people who walk on the tight ropes in a circus or in a show, that, you know, the tightrope walkers, they have to focus specifically on one object. They cannot focus on the ground and focus on how high the thing is and focus on anything else except that object that will keep them walking straight along this rope. If they focus on anything else, they're going to fall off. And so it's the same with us in the kingdom. If we lose focus, if we don't focus properly, if we don't look at the end goal, we're going to start to get dizzy and start to get fearful and start to fall. And many times we've lost focus ultimately on the great prize, who's Jesus himself. And he doesn't say anything here about, I'm the focus. He doesn't say that. He just says, it's all about your eye and cleansing your eye and making sure you're not seeing the temptations and seeing the world's goods and wanting that and desiring that, having an evil eye. God wants to give us spiritual vision. He wants to help us to focus more on him than on that which we haven't got. Because so many times we focus on what we haven't got, amen, instead of what God has already given us and what comes from him, because everything is from him. So where's your focus this morning? And then he goes on, and this is a famous verse that we always quote in the offering messages or when you talk about finances. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Has anyone here ever worked for two bosses? A couple of you. Maybe indirectly, you know, because you've got a boss and there's a boss above that boss, and, you know, that boss tells you to do something, he goes past the direct boss, and then you're like thinking, okay, who must I listen to now? And it works if both bosses are in unity with each other. If both bosses want exactly the same thing, then, you know, it can work. Amen. But what happens if the two bosses don't agree? Then who do you listen to? You cannot work for two bosses. You cannot serve two masters, the Bible says. And unfortunately, God and mammon do not agree. Okay. We can try and think that they agree, but, you know, God and money do not agree, because money and the love of money and the inherent thing in money lures us to desire what God does not want, primarily. The God of this world, the God of mammon, the God of money does not want us to do what God wants. The God of money wants us to serve him because he's a God. And so Jesus, yeah, specifically says something indirectly. He doesn't say it, but he says, listen, yeah, there's one God that I'm comparing myself with here. And that people are going to be challenged to compare themselves, well, to compare me with, is this whole thing of the love of money. It's not money itself that's evil, but God knows that money presents in itself an idol. It presents in itself something that we can start to love. Amen. Just because we are sinful people and we're born for a love of ourselves and for the love of stuff and more and more and more. So Jesus is saying, there's a danger here because you could possibly be serving the God of this world, the God of mammon. And so I want to challenge us this morning, where is our loyalty? Because many times we can be loyal to God, we say we're loyal to God, but then when the temptations come, or even the struggles come, then we start to serve this other God. And you know what the best place that money can be in our lives? Is a servant. Money is a good servant, do you know that? Turn to someone next to you and say, money is a very good servant. When money starts to work for us, when money starts to actually serve us and serve God, that's its place in this world, in the biblical way. The worldly way, it's not. Money must be the God. Some people find so much fulfillment in serving this awesome God. You know, many of us serve another God called rugby, eh? So that God has been broken down a little bit in this nation. God will get to New Zealand one day, okay? He's working with us now. One day Japan and Argentina and all these small nations are going to win the World Cup. I mean. But I mean, God is dealing with gods in our lives. And that's not like, don't quote me on this. I mean, sport to sport, okay? There's winners and losers. It's not that serious. But I think us as the followers get so serious about rugby and it defines our lives and we get depressed for weeks because our team doesn't win. But you see, that there's a God in this world called Mammon that really wants us to serve him. And the devil wants us to serve money because he knows that he's got us in a place where God needs to really save us. And many times God cannot save us because we've made a choice. So who are you serving? Where is your loyalty? Loyalty talks about a devotion. It talks about an absolute devotion, a not a fair weather devotion. A devotion through good times and through bad times. That's what loyalty is, because he says, yeah, you're going to be either loyal to the one or to the other. You cannot be loyal to both. Loyalty is challenged mostly when things get tough, amen? Because we can be loyal to whether it's a church or a marriage or to people. We can be loyal in the good times. But what about being loyal when times aren't so good? What about the covenant the married couples you guys this morning have made? What about being loyal God has given you through the tough times? What about being loyal to an institution like church through tough times? God is looking for loyal people. But you know, many times the loyalty is determined by this thing, and we're so loyal to the things of the world, not loyal to God. And God says you're going to be either loyal to money, especially in times that go tough, because you can be poor, you can have lack, and then you're still loyal to this God because you're hoping this God of Mammon is going to save you from your poverty. Or you can be so rich and you're just so, oh, thank you. Mammon, thank you for saving my life. Thank you that I can have so much. Thank you that I can live this comfortable life and I've got this awesome house and these awesome cars and all this awesome stuff. Thank you, Mammon. Oh, I love you. Where's your loyalty this morning? And yeah, he doesn't talk about the fact that we're hating the one, like as in we just hating because none of us hate God as Christians. But it talks here about loving less. Okay, so you can underline that word hate there and see it as it's not a hate like you hate someone who's done something wrong to you. It's hating in the context of loving them less. So you still love them, you just love them less. You love God a little bit less than you love Mammon. Where's your loyalty this morning? So this morning I felt the Lord saying to us that we must take up the offering right now. I know some of you weren't prepared for this, so I don't expect you to give anything. But if you've got something to give this morning, I don't want you to just give it into the offering bag. So the ushers, you guys can get ready to get the offering bags ready. I want you this morning, just as a consecration, we're just going to have a short prayer now over your finances, specifically this morning, just to consecrate your finances to God and say, God, this morning I'm reminded, Lord, that I don't want to serve Mammon. I don't want to serve the God of this world. I want to serve you. And Lord, this money, I'm giving it into your kingdom so that I can serve you with this money. Amen. So the ushers are going to pass the offering bags around right now. And we're going to just quickly pray over the offering bags. And we're going to say, Lord, and you just give that money, whether it's a few cents or whether it's whatever you've got in your wallet. But I want you actually to take out your wallet this morning. If you've got your wallet or lay hands on your watch then or something physical, something that you can actually say, God, I consecrate my possessions, which represents lots of my money and my hard work and my effort. I consecrate that, Lord, to you this morning. So let's pass the offering bag around. Please don't give your watches and all that stuff in the offering bag. We don't make our admin more, okay? Amen. Belinda doesn't want to sort out watches and all that stuff. We're not into that. But we're just into our hearts this morning. So consecrate that money. Consecrate the finances that you're giving right now. And we're going to pray over it. But you must say, God, I'm giving this because I don't serve the God of mammon. Don't serve the God of this world. We're not finished yet. So don't. We're going to get to the conclusion now. So let's pray. Father, we want to thank you this morning that we can consecrate our hearts to you, Lord, more than anything. Because, Lord, you don't look at how much we've given this morning, but you look at the motives, Lord. You look at our loyalty this morning. Because, Lord, there's such a battle on, Lord. There's such a battle for whether we're going to love this thing, Lord, this physical stuff, Lord, or whether we're going to love you more than anything else. Lord, and this morning, you know our hearts, Lord. Many times we are so drawn to material stuff. We're so drawn to stuff that money can buy. But this morning we say, Lord, help us. Help us to serve you loyally, Lord, with a whole heart. And so we choose to consecrate our finances, Lord. Well, even if we haven't got anything to give this morning, we say, Lord, that which is in our bank, Lord, even the many thousands and hundreds of thousands and millions that are lying in our bank accounts and in investments, wherever, Lord, we consecrate all of it for your purposes, God. And we thank you this morning that you want to save us from loving the God of this world, loving mammon more than loving you, Lord. And we choose, Lord, not to love you less, Lord. We choose to love you more this morning. In the name of Jesus, God, help us, Lord. Help us. We need your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I trust that God is really stirring your hearts this morning. Amen. And that God would multiply the finances in your life. That you can serve him loyally and with a whole heart and with a focus on him. You see, this is just a little build up, because with all of this in mind, there's this incredible word in the Bible that says therefore. Whenever there's a therefore, you must ask what it's there for. Amen. It's there because of what Jesus has just said. Therefore, on account of what I've just said, says Jesus, on account of the fact that where's your heart? Are your treasures in heaven or on earth? And where's your focus? Are you looking at the things of this world? Are you looking at me and the vision I have for you? And are you looking with a clear eye or a bad eye? And where's your loyalty? Are you serving mammon or are you serving me? If you look at all of that, then he goes, therefore, do not worry. Amen? Tell someone next to you, do not worry. I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. It's not life more than food and the body more than clothing. And so he starts to go on here, and this is what I want to get to this morning. I want to get to the whole thing of not worrying. And why do we worry many times? It's because our focus, our hearts, and our loyalty is not fully where God wants it. And so he goes on, he says, because so many people are worrying about this. They're worrying about basic needs, eating and drinking. How am I going to survive? How am I going to, I'm going to die. I'm not going to have food on the table. I'm stressed. Then he goes on to say the following. Look at the birds of the air. So he's giving two comparisons here. And he says, first of all, look up. Look at the birds of the air. Let's just take a look at them first. Aren't they amazing? They're my creation. They just look so carefree. But yet you're more valuable than they. And yet, you know what? I feed them. They don't have lack. Now, you know what? They neither sow nor reap, nor they gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And so he's focusing here and he's saying, listen, yeah, many times even the laws of God, even the whole thing of sowing and reaping, we so focus on that, and we sow because we want to reap because we know this is God's law. And we gather into barns and we lay up investments and all these things. I'm not saying this is wrong. In fact, I'm saying it's important, but I'm saying who is more important, the God of the law or the law itself? Is sowing and reaping more important than God himself and a relationship with God? Because the birds of the air have got an awesome relationship with God. They just know they're creation. They worship him. And yes, they don't really have a choice. They haven't got the choice that mankind had. But that's how we're supposed to be. We're supposed to say, God, you are the, it's not the law of sowing and reaping or the gathering into barns or the investing or all this stuff. It's all good, God, but as long as you are higher than that, because it's your law. You created the law of sowing and reaping. And so I just want to challenge our thinking sometimes this morning, because we so want to sow and reap, and we try so hard, and we try to get ourselves out of these situations. And God says, I want you to not worry. Amen. I want you to trust in me. And by all means this morning, because I'm a very practical person, I don't say you mustn't now invest and you must give away everything and you mustn't sow and reap anymore because God is so good and you're just going to worship him and float like a butterfly and just go through life. Then you will struggle. But I'm just saying, where's your heart this morning? What are you worrying about? And are you so focused on the things of this world? As God says, we must become like the birds of the air, because we're even more valuable than they. Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? Does worrying in any way help? Can anyone just tell me now, has worrying helped you in your life at all? Has it really caused you to have a breakthrough? Has it caused you to have a testimony? It caused you to have a testimony afterwards, yes, because you realize God saved you from your fear and your worry. But worrying in itself is not going to help you in any way. And then he goes, why do you worry even about clothing? So first he's saying about provision, physical provision, eating and drinking. Then he says, why do you worry about what you wear and what you look like? Do you really worry about it so much? Look at the lilies of the field. Consider them. How they grow. The Lord showed me when I was preparing this that he's put certain processes in place in our lives. When we give our lives to the Lord, when we follow God, he puts processes in our lives supernaturally to care for us. Amen. To help us to grow like the lilies, that we don't have to worry about clothing. He provides that for us. We don't need to toil nor spin. He says they neither toil nor spin. They don't strive. They don't work hard. Because he has put processes in place for us to grow, amen. And so many times we actually don't trust God and trust the processes he's put in our lives when we give our lives to him. We don't trust those things that he said, I will provide for you. So if I tell you to give up certain things, give it up because I'm going to provide for you. If I tell you to give all your money to the poor and come follow me, then I'm going to provide for you, amen. And he doesn't tell that to everyone, but he told that to the rich young ruler. If you really want to follow me, sell all your stuff because your stuff is keeping you from me. And then he says, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these lilies. But we don't always trust him. And so what do? We make our own plans. We make our own plans. And so we say to God, God, I don't really believe in your promises. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So Jesus is challenging the people here. He's challenging us this morning. Do we have little faith or do we have much faith in him and in the great God? What are you worrying about? Therefore, do not worry, he says again, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For after all these things, the Gentiles seek. That's a little bit of a slap in the face for us who are seeking after these things, because this is stuff that the unbelievers do. For your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. So what are you worrying about this morning? Are you worrying about food and clothing? Are you worrying about even tomorrow? We'll get to that now. And then he gives a key and he says, seek first the kingdom of God, all his righteousness, and these things will be added unto you. What are these things? It's your basic needs. And he's going to add wants to you as well, because he's such a blesser. He's a God who blesses, so he's going to give you also what you want, but not everything, because he knows many of your wants are selfish desires, and they're going to lead you away from him. So he's going to give you the stuff that you just need to get through the day without stressing and without worrying. He's going to clothe you because it's good to have clothes on. Amen. Because you're going to let someone else stumble if you don't have clothes on. So it's good to clothe yourself. It's good to have something to eat and drink, because we cannot fast forever. Okay, sometimes we must fast for a few days and then we realize, oh, thank you, Lord, that we need food. Food is nice. Drink is nice. Non-alcoholic, that is. Okay. But he says, yeah, You don't need to even think about these things. You mustn't even stress about these things. I will provide for you. And I've processes and stuff in your life that I'm going to provide for you. Trust in me. But you've got to start focusing on this. Seeking first the kingdom of God. Amen. He doesn't say, I'm just going to add to you things. He says, if you seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, then I'm going to provide for you. That is a living, passionate relationship with God. Seeking first his kingdom. You see, there's a difference between worry and concern, and I think we do need to be concerned. I mean, we do need to have healthy concern for stuff. We cannot say we're just happy-go-lucky, life is fine, we surfing all day with God, and you know, life is awesome. We need to actually have concern. But the difference between worry and concern is that worry immobilizes you. Worry makes you just want to lie in bed and do nothing and get depressed. It really gets you to a place of being paralyzed. But concern mobilizes you. Concern brings you to a place where you can put your concern into action. Amen. And I believe we must be concerned. You can put it in inverted commas. We must worry about the kingdom. We must be concerned that God's kingdom is coming and must come. Amen. But how many times do we worry about all the other stuff instead of seeking first, instead of having our concern and our focus and our thoughts all our lives about is the kingdom of God coming? In our workplaces, where we study, where we live. Is that our concern? Because if we're not going to be concerned about that, if we're not going to seek first the kingdom, we're going to naturally be concerned and start to worry about the world stuff. So he goes on, he says, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own thing. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Some reasons not to worry. The same God who created life in you can be trusted with the details of your life. You can trust God for the details of your life. Amen. Worrying about the future hampers your efforts for today. If you're so focused on tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow and the next day, you know what? You're just going to be ineffective today. You're going to be thinking about the future the whole time. And I'm not talking about the worldly stuff. I'm not talking about the kingdom yet. Talking about worrying about other stuff. We need to be concerned about the future of the kingdom, definitely. I'm talking about worrying. Worrying is more harmful than helpful. God does not ignore those who depend on him. We can know God wants us to trust him. But we need to be dependent upon him. Worrying shows a lack of faith and understanding of God. Worrying keeps us from real challenges God wants us to pursue. Then living one day at a time keeps us from being consumed with worry. If we just focus on our daily walk with God and say, God, today, how can I seek first your kingdom? And yes, we must plan and yes, we must do a lot of stuff for the kingdom in the future. But many times we forget about today because we're so worried about tomorrow. So I'm going to conclude this morning. Then we're going to pray. I trust that the Lord has stirred something in your heart this morning. See, Jesus here is talking all about priorities, okay? He's talking about where is your priority? Is your priority seeking first the kingdom? Because that's why I say seek first. He doesn't just say seek the kingdom. He says seek first the kingdom above everything else in your life. And then your concerns and I almost want to say your good worries will be about his kingdom. Because I think we should lie awake at night praying about people dying. But people going to hell, I think we should be concerned about people's lives who don't know Jesus. And we should be concerned about the future of this nation and concerned about stuff that's on God's heart. I think we really should. But it's all about priority. Is your concern more about the kingdom or is your worry and your concern more about just going through life, just surviving, just making it with your daily stuff? And I believe much of our worry is because of this thing, the financial worry, the financial stress. And you know what it means? There's a good saying that I heard from one of our pastors. He says, if money sticks to your hand, it's got a hold in your heart. If you struggle to give away, if you struggle to open your hand, if money struggles to flow through you, then there's something with your heart. Money is the ruler of your heart. And I can genuinely say I can see the fruit of people's lives who are giving away and giving away and giving away for the right reasons, not to get, because many people can give to get. And many people sow and reap. You know, there's big businessmen, they're not believers, but they sow and reap and they're blessed financially Because they do the 10% thing. They do the sowing and reaping thing. But you know what? Are they going to heaven? They're not going to heaven. So you can do the right thing, still have the wrong results. God is into our hearts. And one thing that He exposes in our hearts is this thing called worry. And you know what it exposes? I believe a love for money. If we are so worried and so concerned and so focused on this thing of material stuff and financial stuff and wealth, it's a very closely connected with worry. Amen. But if we can be free, and financial freedom doesn't mean like you're not in debt or you're not, you know, you don't have to have, you've got a passive income that's just working for you. That's not true biblical financial freedom. I believe biblical financial freedom is where you have said, God, you're in control of my life. You are my master. And therefore, I don't have to worry. Jesus has come to set us free from the love of money, from worry. Amen. So I want to say to you this morning, stop worrying. Don't worry. But in order to do that, you've got to check your heart and say, God, where am I giving? Where am I sowing? Where am I saying, God, there's a blessing in my life that I want to flow. I want it to flow through. Some people have been called to make incredible amounts of money for the kingdom. Not all of us. But I believe all of us have been called to say, God, you're my master. Mammon is not my master. We're all called to give. We're all called to give away. And God will bless us. And you know what His biggest blessing is peace. Free from worry, free from anxiety, free from stress. And when we focus on His kingdom alone, that's life, guys. That's life. Let's pray. Father, this morning I want to thank You that Your word is so powerful, Lord. Thank You, Lord, that You speak to us so clearly this morning, Lord. You have spoken to us, Lord. I pray, God, this morning that You would show us in our hearts where we still have so much control, God. Where we're not giving away. Where we're not opening our hands. So that our hearts can be released, Lord, of this financial burden many times that we are not supposed to carry, Lord. Where we are supposed to have these incredible financial riches that we are supposed to steward. And You are calling us, Lord, just to even give that control away, Lord. You are calling us to a place where we need to be free, Lord. So thank You, Lord, that we can choose this morning to bring our hearts before You. Lord, expose us for where we still have a hold and where we allow money to have a hold on us. Where we allow finances to have a hold on us, Lord. Whether it's poor or rich. Lord, it's got nothing to do with how much we have. Because You saw the woman that gave everything she had, and it was only a few cents, Lord, but You just saw her heart giving everything away and saying, Jesus, I trust You with everything. So Lord, this morning, thank You for Your incredible Sermon on the Mount. Thank You that it can be real to us this morning and that we can apply it, Lord, to our lives. So I want you to just close your eyes right now. And I trust the Holy Spirit to reveal specific things to you, because each person is going to have something different right now. Maybe you're going to be challenged on your giving very practically into this house or into the house that you're committed to if you're not committed to this church. Maybe you're challenged just in your debt this morning, because maybe you're in debt this morning and that is causing you to be in bondage. And God says, cut your expenses. Don't go into more debt. Practical stuff. God is showing you. Maybe it's just that you've got this incredible desire to look good and to have the best stuff and to have all the material stuff and to have all the bells and whistles. And God's saying, I haven't called you to live a life like that. Especially if you love me, you're going to have a struggle constantly in your life, because there's going to be this battle in you. God is calling you, and then money is calling you as well. God wants to set you free of that. Maybe there's a poverty mentality in your life that you just feel like you've never got enough, and God says, start to look at what I've already given you. The fact that you're even clothed this morning is a huge blessing. Just celebrate that and don't think about more and more and more stuff that you need. And you look around, and I just sense, yeah, even some people, you're just looking around. There's so much competition. You're looking at other people and you so want what other people got. And God says, that's an evil eye. You so desire what someone else has got. It's not a good eye. God wants to clear your eye this morning. It's to give you a right focus. But whatever it is the Holy Spirit is showing this morning, I want you to bring your heart before the Lord this morning. I want you to honestly bring your heart before the Lord. Just allow Him to show you exactly where He needs to work in your life, because that's why we need to stand still. We need to stop and take time out and say, Lord, I'm so consumed. My thoughts, that's why I asked you the question at the beginning. My thoughts are so consumed with so many things. I'm thinking about so many things. I'm stressing, I'm worrying about so many. I'm even stressing about my career because I've got to study this thing because I just need to make money. I just need to get free of all the bondage that my parents were in, and I just need to pass this with excellent colors or excellent marks because I need a bursary, and I'm so stressed about my marks. I've got so much bondage in my life. God is just saying, I want to release that. I want to take that away. So I'm going to provide for you. Just look at the birds. Look at the lilies of the field. Look at how I provide for them. I want to provide for you. Maybe you're struggling with financial provision and you really are standing in faith, and God says this morning, I'm proud of you. Keep standing in faith. I'm your provider. I'm going to give you wisdom how to blessing, not just to be a consumer, not just to stress about what I can get. But God says, even in your lack, I want you to give. Give the little bit that you've been given. Give it out, and God will start to multiply you because He sees your heart. Your heart is not just to get back. Your heart is to really give. Not for your own gain, to see others' lives change. Your heart is for the kingdom. And so God is challenging all of us. Are we really seeking first His kingdom? Or are we worrying about unnecessary stuff? So I want you to just give me an indication. Who's been challenged by something specific in your life this morning? Just give me an indication by show of hands. Who's been challenged in some area of your life this morning? Just don't be shy. Just raise your hand if you've been challenged. Just be honest. Be specific. I believe all of us have been challenged this morning. I've been challenged. I want you to pray with the person that you prayed with, that you spoke to just now, about what is consuming your mind. What is on your what are the thoughts on your hearts? What is really taking up all your worry? Because all of us have got a capacity for worry. But I want you to say it to the Lord and to pray with that person. You're not going to talk now, you're just going to pray. Just pray. It's just that don't share with the person. You pray it out loud to God. The person doesn't need to know. They're going to hear anyway when you pray to God. But just pray to God right now with someone. Okay, so let's turn into the groups of two, or if you were in three. And I want you just to pray now, okay? Please, no talking. Someone must just start praying, and the other person prays, and the other person prays until you finish. But I want you to bring that which is on your heart this morning, and I want you to thank God that He spoke to you very clearly this morning about that which is consuming your worries and your fears.